That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, and that siren tells you there is significant news from the SEL. Yes, Paul Ince has been sacked as Reading FC manager. And here on the Umpire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food, we will now be talking about that decision. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on this one straight away?
The white smoke has arisen from the SEL stadium, hasn't it? Noel Hunt is our new leader and chief in charge, and I'm delighted, I have to say, because things weren't ever going to get much, you know, less fun supporting Reading. And ultimately, isn't that why we all go to football? To enjoy ourselves and have fun.
It's lifted my mood remarkably. I've got to say, after the game yesterday, I was thinking, I just can't face this anymore. It's just so bad with Reading. We were just absolutely terrible. But Matt, you've also joined us. What are your thoughts on the news?
Relief, to be honest. I've never felt so done with a manager as I have with Paul Ince. The constant post-match press conferences, gaslighting players, saying that people aren't good enough, the tactics on the field. I've never seen football as bad as it has been under Paul Ince. It's just relief because I generally resigned myself to 0% chance of staying up with Paul Ince. And now he's gone, at least we've got a chance, to stay up. How big that chance is, we'll probably differ in opinion on that, but it's a chance and that's better than nothing.
Yeah, I totally agree. When that last second winner for Preston got, I wish it was just been an equaliser. I felt that that was it for us. I felt unless we made a change, Alex, that we were definitely going to go down. But let's have a quick look at the record of Paul Ince at Reading FC. 58 games, 18 wins, 11 draws and 29 losses. I mean, the last few months have been terrible, Alex, but we have to be fair. It hasn't all been bad for Paul Ince at Reading.
He did keep us up last season and that deserves some credit. The start of the season, whilst we weren't necessarily playing well, we were getting results. The home record this season has been pretty good, generally. He deserves some credit for doing a reasonable job with what was available to him. I think for the first, maybe 6 to 9 months of him being in charge, I think. But I would say probably since the World Cup, which is almost 6 months ago now, everything has gone very, very downhill. And I think the quote that you had, Paul, which you were discussing beforehand about it just feeling like the balloon has popped, pretty much sums it up for Ince. Because the first 10 months or 9 months or so, whilst it wasn't entertaining and whilst it wasn't like beautiful, free-flowing football, it was effective and it was working. But since then, yeah, it's just disappeared completely, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's no energy left there now. you could obviously listen to this and say, well, he's had the 6-point deduction and that's clearly not his fault. But the problem is we've just been absolutely dire without that 6-point deduction. I heard on the second tier podcast that in the last 8 games, you've got an XG of 0.46. This is a pattern that's, we're getting worse, not better, Matt, aren't we? I mean, I know the the pressure's there for the players, but just watching us is just horrendous. And just after matches, those post-match interviews really killed it for me. They were just completely disrespectful.
Summed up perfectly, you know. It's not just, you know, everything. The situation that we're in now isn't all down to Ince. Yes, we get that. We know that. We appreciate that. But like say, the football has just become unwatchable, you know, which has breeded a toxic, one of the most toxic atmospheres that we've had in the fan base for some time. And, you know, I know some people say this and that about how angry people get and, you know, how happy clappy some people are. But I mean, it's been pretty bad. Like of late under Ince, and that's been down to the football. You know, we've needed to win games, and Ince has been incapable, seemingly, of setting up a team to win games. We had three massive games against Hull, Bristol City, and Birmingham, which by all accounts were our chance to pick up points in this recent run of games, and we played for draws. You know, that there was no intent to win any of those games, you know, and that is just unforgivable. Because yes, the whole game was prior to the points deduction, but Bristol and Birmingham, I think the points deduction was already applied for those ones. So, or definitely for the Birmingham game anyway, you know. So it's just baffling that even though that's come in, and even when you look at it, even before the points deduction officially came in, Ince had been saying for over a month that, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I mean, he should have been able to do the maths and see where we would have been with that 6-point deduction. You know, try and be on the front foot, Paul, and try and, you know, set your team up then to maybe give yourself a buffer for when that comes in, not wait for it to then come in and then think, oh, well, now we've had it. Now we've got to play. Yeah, it was just so unresponsive, just lack of intelligence, really, like across the entire time of his reign as manager at Reading FC.
Well, if you just look at the tactics that we're playing with Andy Carroll, we're not having the formation that suits him. It's really not helping him. We've had Lucas Jow, who hasn't played. But yeah, let's look at why it's gone wrong, Alex. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, yeah, I think you sum it up there with the fact that we've basically lined up with Andy Carroll up front this season. And we did say it on the last podcast that we've just recorded about the fact that Andy Carroll is... he's kind of become a little bit of a face for the failure of this current run, which isn't necessarily fair, because ultimately it's not his fault that we're losing games and we're not winning games. That's not ultimately just down to him, but because we've often set the team up to accommodate certain players, Jeff Hendrick, Andy Carroll, Baba Rahman at some points. We've tried to accommodate these players into a team, despite the fact that they might not be playing well, we don't have the best players to get enough out of them, so on and so forth. And I think that that's led to us trying to play to, you know, hold on to points and hold on to draws, when the reality is that how many times are you going to hold a team to a 0-0? How many times are you going to hold them to a clean sheet? We've only got 7 clean sheets this season. We aren't that good defensively, and yet we still are setting up in games to try and not concede, which it doesn't make sense. At some point, you have to adapt and react to the situation around you. And ultimately, I think one of the things is you have to play your best players. Yaku Mate and Lucas Shaw have sat on the bench for an awful long time this season, and I think they're probably two of our best players, I would say, and yet we've not seen anywhere near enough of them. I think Jao's got a lot of appearances, but how many of them have come off the bench when you're asking him to come on and change a game with, you know, 7, 8, 10 minutes left because Ince has made a substitution too late? So I think it's a case of he's been scared into not losing games, and that ultimately is why he's, you know, ended up getting the sack.
I think as well, kind of on top of that, you mentioned about the whole setup with Andy Carroll. Part of it comes from as well, and Christ, I feel like a broken record saying this because I don't know how many times we've now said it, but it goes back to the coaching of the team. There's been nothing in this team that Ince has coached into them. I mean, we discussed it on the post-Preston pod, but him coming out after the game and saying, oh, well, if I was in the team, I wouldn't be standing for this or I wouldn't be doing that. Well, it's like, well, you're the manager. Teach them how you think, how you would do things in that situation. That's your job. You know, you're not a bystander now. You're the person who is there now to tell these players how you want them to play in your philosophy, how you want them to react in certain situations. Yes, you've been there, you've done that. We appreciate that. But you now need to tell this and influence your players to do this. And across his entire time here, I can't really say one thing really that he's properly implemented onto these players, you know, and he's been here for over a year, you know, a year and 2 months or whatever it is now. I think ultimately that's one of the biggest things that it comes down to. And it's been so clear for so long. Like I say, I feel like a broken record talking about it. Everyone said it on Twitter, other podcasts, you know, everyone has said it because it's been so glaringly clear how undercoached these players are. There's no thought in midfield, how the midfield links play, no thought of how or plan of how to make space in the midfield, find pockets of space, how to move around a team, spread the play, how to go forwards, how to defend, you know, what to do on corners. You know, that there's just nothing. And ultimately, I think, to be honest, that's probably the biggest reason that has led to his downfall. Sadly, he just can't coach. What's the point of having a manager or a coach who can't coach?
It's highlighted by the goal that we scored against Watford a few months ago. Jeff Hendricks scores from a corner and Paul Ince gets asked after the game, oh, is that something you've worked on in training? Oh, no, we haven't worked on that one at all in training. It's just something that Tom Ince and Jeff Hendrick have spotted during the game and they've just pulled it off. Practice set pieces in training. And I was like, well, what on earth are you practicing? It doesn't make sense. Yeah,
that was one of the worst ones he said, I think, because it was just like, well, set piece is the easiest thing probably to coach because it's a static situation. You can then use your creativity, your ingenuity to try and orchestrate, you know, moves, plays. It's like in the NFL, you know, I think Gareth Southgate has talked about it in his time as England manager, you know, looking how to use blockers and all of this, you know. But like you say, that one was criminal.
Paul, I think it's not like we're talking about a lot of stuff here, which is just on the field, right? And ultimately, Paul Ince has done not a fantastic job PR-wise for himself off the field. But again, to try and get some balance, off the field, he has done some good things as well behind the scenes at the club.
Yeah, definitely. I think not to mention them would be remiss. I think he's really helped with the setup with the scouting. People can say, well, we'll have to wait and see how that works out. But he's setting up a foundation. He's not like, he's never claimed to have found thousands of new good players. You know, we have to pick which one. But accepting that the club now had no recruitment, which is absolutely ridiculous when you're in the Championship. He's kind of probably played a huge part in the Mark Bowen coming to the club, having Brian Carey there, having Jared there. And long term, hopefully we will see gain from that. So I think he should get a lot of credit for that. But unfortunately, as a manager, well, not fortunately, it's just a fact. As a manager, you have to accept that it's on the pitch that matters, nowhere else, because fans don't really care. They want something that's happening now. And you could maybe accept it if we had some occasional good displays or we look, okay, you're thinking, I can see what we're trying to do. There's a foundation here. But at no point have I really felt that. There's only been one game when I felt, okay, that's pretty properly exciting. That was the Blackburn game. But that's it. That's it in like 50 games or so. That's not enough, is it, Matt? You need a lot more than that.
No. And I mean, it's just been compounded by, you know, the last 20 games, really. Everything that was good at the start of the season. I mean, it looked like, you know, that there was a bit of fight. They were out working and that. But, you know, like, you've then got to get past that and you've got to actually just impose certain styles of play. But yeah, you know, when I look at kind of high points from Ince's career, kind of games that I really remember, where we've actually dominated or beaten opposition, that Blackburn game is on its own, really.
But when I look at it, Paul Ince has been asked about that match and he said, well, we pressed in that game and we haven't done that since. Now, there's a bit of my brain that instantly thinks, why have we not done that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying we should do that every game, but you're like, it worked quite well in that. And also, he referenced repeatedly the Stoke match. Oh, we tried to play too much football. So we give up after one game when we were absolutely abysmal as a team. The style was irrelevant. And Stoke, obviously, since that point, have proven to be, you know, in very, very good form. He just he's just scared of, like, I don't know what it was in his mentality. It's like one thing damages him or goes well, and he's like, I can't go back to that. It doesn't make sense to me how you'd not go try at least something that we've done in the Blackburn game in other matches. Not all of them, because it's not appropriate. But some of them we should have done it.
No. Well, and he's also referenced multiple times that, oh, you know, we can write off that Blackburn game as essentially a fluke, you know, and not try and learn anything from it. It's like, well, try and learn something from how you actually played in that game. Look at the tape. Look at the way that players did. Show those players how they played in that game. Look at the decisions that they made. You know, when they decided to press, when they decided to sit off, where they decided to pass, how they shift the team about. Again, that's your job as a coach. And he just seemed incapable, really, of doing that. You know, learn from your good games. Yes, you know, learn from your bad games as well. But, you know, don't just disregard good performances and just call them flukes. Again, it's just... it's crazy, really. I can't get my head around some of those comments.
I think it was a fluke. I think that's what it was, Alex, basically.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? If you only manage it once, one in 50 games, like, it's not a pattern. It's not like a...
Yeah, but you can at least try and learn something that you did in that game. You can at least still just try and look at it and see what was good. You know, yes, it probably could have been a fluke, you know, because you've not prepared to play like that. It might have just been players that game. Learn, like, just doing things off their own intuition, but look at it, look at what players were doing, how they were thinking, and then try and implement it going forwards. You know, actually try and do something useful with that 90 minutes of tape that you've got.
And again, all of this comes back, like Matt said earlier on, it all comes back to the fact there isn't enough coaching. Players haven't developed enough, players haven't learned, players haven't improved on the field. And then off the field, of course, as well, Paul. I mean, I tried to give Paul Ince a bit of credit for, like, the off the field, behind the scenes at the club going well. But off the field, PR-wise, he's a disaster. It's as if he's never had media training. He's a pundit who is, he is a pundit, isn't he now? He's not a football manager. He's a pundit who doesn't appear to really ever think through what he's saying. Oftentimes, you'll hear him in an interview and he'll, like, talk about one thing, and then in his next answer, he'll completely contradict himself and say completely the other thing. And then we obviously get on to one of the major issues that people have had with Paul Ince this season has been when we've been losing games, he comes out in an interview, and if we've won a game, all credit to him. We've done really well today. The lads have performed well. We've really worked hard as a unit to pick up these 3 points, blah, blah, blah. As soon as we lose the game, it's, oh, well, the players have lost concentration. Bad mistake by them. This bad mistake by the players.
What am I
meant to do? Yeah. Decision-making is poor. And you wonder, like, when is it us and when is it them? There was never any kind of, like, absolve for his problems and what the blame that he was going to take when Reading were losing. It was always the players and never him, which went down pretty awfully amongst the fan base, didn't it, Paul?
Dreadfully. And I can understand that. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you're a manager, you want the manager to stand up during the good and bad. Obviously, you'd much rather have a lot more good than bad. But the way he's interacted with multiple people on topics is just incredible. The way he's been laughing and joking after the match, after we're going to the relegation zone, saying pressure doesn't bother him. He's not bothered. No, that's not my decision. I mean, I get that. All managers say that. But it's how he says it. It's just incredible. His style is just, it's just aloof, isn't it? And if you're winning, you can deal with that.
And also,
that's the parody here, is if we were winning, we'd be okay. But if you're losing, it's just the arrogance, isn't it? It really is. And the situation that we're in, you cannot have that. And I think it comes across to the players. They must feel distant to him in some way. I mean, who knows inside that dressing room going on, but they're having constantly stating other players and saying they're not good enough. They're not good enough. They can't do this. They're rubbish, basically. All the players we've got are shit, he's essentially saying. Is that going to inspire you in any way? Not well, repeatedly, is it?
Yeah, this is something Matt and I were talking about on the way back from Preston yesterday, of course. If you've got a manager, as Paul Ince has been, often digging out the players, decision-making's been bad, you've made a mistake here in public to, you know, in your interviews after the game. In private, you can't be doing that as a manager. Like, you just can't be. That is surely is not the way that you would ever manage a person. You wouldn't sit there every day and sit there and say to Guinness Walker, you're shit. You can't defend. I'm not picking you. You're not starting. You wouldn't do it, would you? Because it wouldn't make sense. So in private, surely he must be saying to them, like, you guys are good enough to stay in the league, you know. And they've all backed him, the players generally, this season. We haven't really, like, maybe outside of Ovie Ejaria, there hasn't been a massive, like, you know, unrest, seemingly, amongst members of the squad, from what we can tell, at least. So seemingly the players must at least like respond to what he says internally. But what if what he says internally and what he says externally are completely different, then how can you as a player try and like put that through your mind and say, yeah, what he's saying to me here is definitely matching up with what he's saying to me, like to the press and to the fans, and then be motivated by it? How can you be motivated by someone who's like calling you out publicly every single week? It doesn't make sense to me at all.
It's exactly that. And I mean, players will see what he's saying. And like, surely not one. Well, surely there must have been one player that kind of looked at that. And like you say, even if he is backing them personally in the dressing room, you know, if they then go and see on Twitter or whatever the comments that Ince has then made in the press conference or hear about it somehow, you know, one of them on Monday morning must be thinking, like, come on, boss. Why are you now essentially saying that we're not good enough, you know, to play at this level? You know, I get that, you know, we might not have played well, but you're now saying that we're not good enough at this level. Do you not believe in us? You know, do you not think that we're going to be able to get out of this situation? Because by saying that they're not good enough, you know, you're saying that they're not going to get out of this situation. You know, there's no chance of survival. You know, that's essentially what he said, you know, by saying that. And ultimately goes again to the whole point of why has he lasted so long? Because it's not been a recent thing that he said about these players. They're not good enough. It's been going on for quite some time now.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
No. Well, Paul Ince is gone now. This is good news. So let's move on now to Noel Hunt, because he is an absolute legend at Reading Football Club. There's no doubt on that. Championship winner, 11-12 under Mr. McDermott, what a man he is as well. But let's not get sidetracked. I think it's the one that we kind of, all three of us on this podcast wanted, what you all want as people listening to this. I'm sure you've all got different thoughts on that. But I think he comes into this with, is it a free hit, Alex? Because it feels a little bit like it, because our situation is so bad now. We're 2 points adrift. There's only 5 games left. This is really a tough situation to come into. And he's got Burnley on Saturday. It couldn't get much harder for him, could it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult situation to come in for any manager, especially a manager who's going to be taking charge for the very first time of a, you know, first team. Yeah, I mean, I think probably for the last 6 weeks or so, I was on the fence with Noel Hunt being the one to take over, because we've left it too late to bring somebody external in. I think you can't, who are you going to bring in to come and manage you for 5 games unless you're going to give them a permanent deal, which ultimately there's not a lot of managers out there who are going to agree to come in if you don't know what division you're going to be in next year. As we've seen with Leicester, they've really struggled to find someone to come in and take permanent charge. Yeah, Noel Hunt's not got an easy start against Burnley, let's be honest. But I think the galvanization around, at least amongst the fan base, at the very least, it can only be a positive to try and keep them in the division at this point. Because if the atmosphere is even 1% better within the ground, and it helps even slightly to get a result in any of these remaining games, that has to be a good thing. And Noel Hunt ultimately is going to be somebody who does drive that atmosphere to be better, because people are drawn to him because of his history with the club and the sentimentality behind it.
Yeah, totally. And he's not Paul Ince, which ultimately is a huge factor, because he just becomes so toxic, hadn't he, Matt? But he is currently the under 23 manager. Their form is not too bad this season. I don't know how much we take out of this, though, because obviously it's a totally different world, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I'm not going to pretend to sit here and say that I've watched every under 23 match and know what style he plays, because I've not got a clue, to be honest. But yeah, like you say, it just got to a point of it being anyone but Ince by this time. So we just needed somebody else coming in and a different voice, and with five games to go, someone to galvanize fans, get a good atmosphere in the club, in the fan base, because God forbid if Ince was in charge for Burnley and we got thumped 2-3-0, you know, it would have just been so toxic. But yeah, I just hope that Hunt will be able to just bring just some sort of fight, attacking intent, just some sort of plan. I think that's really what most fans kind of just want to see between now and the end of the season. Show us something that you've been working on the training ground. Show us that you actually know what you're doing going forwards. There's a bit of a plan going forwards. There's organization at the back. Just show us something, you know, go down with a fight. Don't go down with a whimper, which is what we've been doing under Ince. Just show us something, to get behind. And, you know, if you go down, let's face it, the odds are still stacked against us staying up. You know, it's not going to be an easy one to stay up. Everyone knows that. So just show us something, give us something to look for and cling on to for next season.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. This looks like a very temporary appointment. Mark Bowen, in the statement from Reading FC, said the board will work diligently to identify the manager who is the best fit for this football club going forward, a candidate capable of driving it towards a healthier, brighter future. He then talks about the next five games under Noel. So it doesn't sound like a long-term one, Alex, but let's move on to that. Future managers. I mean, wow. Pluck a name out or some kind of like ideology that you'd like to see from the manager going forward. If Noel Hunt, you know, doesn't magically win five games on the trot, which we'd all love to see, obviously.
So if we're not talking Noel Hunt, because I think even if we go down, fighting, I'm not against Noel Hunt being in charge really next year, potentially. I think we're obviously talking about two different scenarios here. If we're in the Championship, there's one set of managers who are in League One, it's different. So let's assume that Noel Hunt keeps us in the Championship in this first scenario. I think some of the names you can be looking at: Neil Critchley, who was at QPR, Nathan Jones, which is, I know there's a lot of people out there who think that Nathan Jones is just not a particularly fun person to listen to, but ultimately he did do really well with Luton multiple times and has got them promoted multiple times, done well in the past. I think that would be a reasonable one to consider. Liam Richardson, who got fired from Wigan earlier this season. And then after that, I mean, you're literally talking about people who might not have been in work for 2-3 years. Gary Monk, potentially, Lee Bowyer. Like, there's a lot of names out there, and none of
Mark
them are
Warburton.
Really... Mark Warburton. Again, someone who's not been in work for a long time. And it's...
Why not Alan Kirbishley? Just throw it in there. Yeah.
Alan's available. But we're talking about names which haven't been in work for a long time, because ultimately I don't think anybody has any idea, right? And that's the main thing. If we're to go down, I think really the obvious one is to go for either Noel Hunt or Graham Murty, because we're going to be in a lower tier, and most managers who you pick up in the lower tier to begin with, at least at the start of their coaching career, you are kind of shooting in the dark a little bit, because you don't know whether they're going to succeed or not. Richardson at Wigan was a great example last year, who obviously ended up winning the title with them. So it's it really is dependent on what the rest of this season looks like. But for me, if Hunt does well, I have no real issues with him taking the job full time, because he isn't going to be looking after transfers. He's not going to be looking after recruitment. He's coaching them. And he has had now, what, multiple years of being a coach. He was the assistant with Swindon. He was a coach at Doncaster. He's been the under-21s coach at Reading for the past, what, year now? I think he's got experience, just not necessarily with people, you know, of a slightly older age group. That's it. It's going to be an interesting manager search, though, I think.
Would you not take a Graham Murty if we stay up in the Championship then? Would it only be kind of if we're in League One, you take a Graham Murty or a Noel Hunt?
For me, if Noel Hunt keeps us up, I think the job is almost his, personally. I can imagine a lot of people might disagree, but I think the job is kind of his to lose, almost. What do you reckon, Paul?
Yeah, probably. It probably is. I mean, we also don't know what Noel wants to do as well. Does he want to be the manager? It's a whole different layer of pressure, isn't it? Maybe he'd absolutely love that. He might well. He might be like thinking, this is my opportunity. Yeah, I think if we go down, it is going to be someone like Noel Hunt or Graham Murty. I can't see us being able to attract many managers because of our situation financially. We'd be out of an embargo, kind of. It would be really tough. But on the relegation front, what are we saying percentage-wise now? Because for me, really, after, let's forget like the manager and everything, the situation is really bad now. I'm going to say at least 70% chance that we're going to go down, Alex. Where are you?
Probably similar. I think I would probably say, you know, 2 out of 3 times we'll go down in this situation. Obviously, we don't know how we're going to perform with Noel Hunt now in charge, which is the big unknown. Those 2 games at the end of the season, all of a sudden, you know, they become massive, right? Wigan and Huddersfield. Under Paul Ince, I think most people would have written off the Huddersfield game straight away as a loss because it's an away game. And the Wigan game, maybe we win because we're at home, but maybe we don't because we're not playing very well. Whereas now with Noel Hunt, I have no idea how we're going to play. But those 2 games are really going to be the defining moment of Reading's season. If you can go and pick up 2 wins, maybe even 4 points, and you pick up another win somewhere else out of the other 4 game, other 3 games, you might manage it. So I think it's more likely we go down than not, but there's definitely more of a chance than there was at 9 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, totally. Matt, quick percentage number before we move on to the questions.
Yeah, no, I know we've discussed it before, and I'm a little bit kind of more on the negative side on the percentage. I still think it's probably about 85-90% that we go down, but like Alex said, with Paul Ince, it was 0%, you know, and give me a 10%, 15% chance of staying up over 0% every day of the week, you know? So I just want to get behind Noel Hunt and just hopefully just see something from them, see that they give it all and just go down fighting, you know, just show us something, you know, give us something for next season if we do go down to back.
Yeah, I'm sure all Reading fans are behind Noel Hunt. Yeah, we just want him to do everything he can, and that's all we can ask, isn't it? Because he's been left in a really horrible scenario. So some questions now that you sent in via Twitter. David RFC Farr, just hope Hunty brings a change of formation, mixes his tactics and has different ideas throughout the games. Hopefully we don't continue lumping it up to Carroll and get the ball down to basics. Back to basics, sorry. We have enough quality in the side to get out of this starting Saturday. Well, Saturday is a really tough one, but we'll see how it goes. You just never know. We've got to hope that we change it up and just not anymore this lump ball. But another one here from Stuart. It's what we all wanted at the international break. Seems late, but hopefully we can have a team that tries to win some games and maybe keep us up. We 100% were relegated sticking with Ince. I mean, I think that's the issue, isn't it? Like you just said, Matt, if we were stuck with Ince, I think it would have just flatlined, wouldn't it?
100%. 100%. You know, like it was, I've no qualms that if Ince was here, you know, we'd be in League One next year if he was here. And that's the biggest thing. You know, you had to make a change. You had to give us, even if it's 1% chance, 1% is better than nothing. you know, it's something for fans to cling on to now. And I generally think fans will come in at the weekend and really back the team as well, which could make a difference, you know. And let's face it, you know, even though it's going to be a mammoth task, to be honest, there's a lot that, you know, Reading FC players and Noel Hunt can feed on for kind of motivation against this Burnley side. For starters, Blackpool were able to get a draw against them a few weeks back. For Reading as a club, you know, as much as we joke about it, Burnley is still on for 106. Get a draw, they can now only equal that. You know, there's some motivation for you. Preserve some of the history of Reading FC and our status, you know, as having the best team in footballing history, or in EFL history anyway. You know, we like as much as we'll laugh about it, you know, that's a massive part of Reading FC history. You know, put that up on the wall in the dressing room and, you know, fight for that, you know. And then as well, as a thing on the side of it, you'll be a point closer to safety. You know, there's so much that, you know, Noel Hunt will get that. He'll get that and tell the players. So yeah, let's just hope he can bring some of that on Saturday.
I had to laugh at, as an aside, we're a point closer to safety. I feel like that will be the main one, but, you know, fingers crossed they've got some motivation for Saturday at least now.
Let's hope one. Here's another one from Georgia, and I think this sums it up. Already feels more positive. We have to go for this now. We can't rely on other teams. We have to go out and fight. No more negative football. No more long ball. A proper showing. No will bring the team spirit. The fans, I'm sure, will turn up. Let's hope the players do. I think you summed up there perfectly, Georgia.
Yeah, I think one of the things around us fighting and seeing players fight and, you know, wanting it, it's a difficult one to really kind of see on the field, right? Because for me, I don't think the players are not fighting, and it's not that they don't care. Like, they do care and they are fighting. You can see in their body language that it's not a group of players who have just given up and don't care. I think it's a group of players who don't know what they're meant to have been doing for the past 5 months and have been asked to basically just go out there and hope rather than anything else. As long as they give it their all for the last 5 games, we're not going to be able to ask much more of them at this point, I think, unfortunately. If we go down, we go down. But if they go out there and leave everything on the field, that's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah. No, totally. Another couple here. One here from Paul Dawson. Too little, too late. But we'll be interesting to see how Tom Ince performs now. I don't think we'll see Tom Ince play again for Reading. That is my feeling. But we never know. We will see. Another one here from... Go on, Alex.
I think we might. Not necessarily this weekend, but it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up playing at the end of the season still. I don't know why. It's just a feeling. I can see him coming back and playing a game or two at the end of the season, because if you're Tom Ince and you now want to move, what better way to get your move than keeping a club in the Championship?
That would be lovely. I'd love to see that. Let's hope that happens. And yeah, let's hope that he scores the winning goal at Huddersfield, keeps us off, takes his top off, gets sent off, but it doesn't matter because we're already 4-0 up. So that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? I'd like to see that. But here we are. Here's a different, slightly different one here from John Hyde. A big gamble, but a gamble worth taking. Ince should have gone when we could have got a decent replacement in. I hope I'm wrong, but I feel this could be a footnote in our inevitable relegation. I think if it was just for football and we really felt that this was going to be the tipping point for us staying up, I would understand that. But I think at the moment, you've just got to remove the toxicity that is Paul Ince, Matt, because it's just got too much, as we've been through many times in this podcast already. So it is a gamble in some ways, but I think it's one we have to take, because otherwise there was no chance.
Of course. You know, like we've said it a few times already, but we're relegated with Ince. You know, like, yes, it's only 5 games to go. Yes, our chances of survival are, you know, pretty slim still. You know, you guys 70%, you know, I'm 85, 90% certain we're going to go down. But, you know, we've given us a chance, you know, and that's all you need as a football fan, just a bit of hope. A bit of hope that, you know, the impossible might happen, you know, that we might be able to get out of this. There is light at the end of the tunnel. That's just what we needed. And with Ince, you just didn't have that because everything had just gone, you know, the belief in the players, belief in the team, belief in the club. you know, at least this just brings back a little bit.
No, I totally agree. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks a lot if you've listened to this one. It's kind of got good news, and it's got really good news, hasn't it? Let's be honest. None of us wanted Paul Ince. We'd had enough of him. Thanks for keeping us up last season and for some of the changes, but it's been absolutely horrific watching the team play for the last few months. I'm not going to miss him. But if you do appreciate our efforts doing this podcast, give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. And let's just fucking hope we get a result against Burnley. It's against all the odds of footballing world, isn't it? None of us really believe it completely, but we all live in hope. And if we do, I am 100% either way on the Noel Hunt Barmy Army. So cheers.